But praise God. Well, I can truly say that yesterday was a blessing. It really was a blessing. I wish you all could have been there because it was outstanding. Yesterday we were taught how to operate in healing. And we were taught that it was not about us. It's about God working through us to heal somebody else that may be in our future. As the man of God was teaching, he used me as an example. When we got to the practical part of it, I was sitting up towards the front because I wanted to get all. Well, I wanted to get all that I could. You got there early and I got to the front. So I wanted to get all that I could. And so he used me as his example. So he was teaching about how to pray for the sick who may be having back pains. Now, I didn't necessarily have any pains on yesterday, but as he called me up and he was talking about how you would pray for someone who may be experiencing pains up in the upper parts of their body, in the shoulder, in the upper back, and how you would have them to stretch their hands out. And so that's what I did. You know, he asked me to put my hands out, and I did. And apparently I couldn't see it, but the audience could see that they were not level. So after he prayed and he asked me about my pain, I said, well, I don't have any pain. But years ago, I was diagnosed as having scoliosis of my spine. And so as he prayed and ministered unto me, and I put my hands down, then I put my hands back, and they were level. Praise God. So I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And we saw that happen, you know, a couple of times while we were there with a couple of people. So it was just a blessing. It was just a blessing. And I just thank God. And I'm looking to receive more today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. She knows the Bible says be ready in season and out. To give that testimony, to give that hope. What's on the inside of you? Let it out. Because somebody else needs to hear that. Amen. Well, we want to introduce Van and his ministry this morning. We thank God for, you know, we've had a short fellowship here just getting up. But see, I already, when we were asked if we had space for Van that Sunday because of the seminar that's coming up. Well, my people had already been to, when I say Tammy and Reed and Jack, they had went to the Ames training. And I got some good rapport. They come back and they was telling me about this man of God that was there and prayer that went on, and it was Van. And I said, well, praise God. We'll just have to check into him. Well, guess what? We were already in your future. So our spirit, I just know by the witness of the spirit that it's going to be a blessing today. So Van and Jan, we thank you for your ministry today. Welcome, brother. Come and have your way in the service. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap.
My wife,
yes,
and
yes,
she's
yes.
going to greet the people.
Amen. There you go.
I'll let her go.
What did I say? Loose her and let her go. Come on now. God's good God. Amen. All the time. Amen. Well, I've been asking the Holy Spirit what to just share with you, because I like to share testimonies. You know, we all have lives full of testimonies, but too often we don't realize they're a testimony that God gave us for a specific purpose. Some of those are negative things we just would like to forget, right? And some are wonderful and we're so glad we remember them. Well, all of them are a gift from God. Amen. You see, when God saves you and me, and he saves anybody, he redeems us, right? So I'm here to tell you he redeems only the good stuff. No. You see, when he redeems you and myself, that means he buys me and all my baggage, all my hurts, all my pains, all my dysfunctions, everything about you and me when we said, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. It's no longer mine. And so before we realize this, Pastor, we all come to church and smile and look so nice. Oh, how are you today? Oh, wonderful. And inside, we're still got baggage and unresolved issues. But we know how to be spiritual, don't we? Oh, sister, I just love you. Oh, wonderful. I'm doing great. Because we haven't learned to be real with ourselves and real with God and real with people. So when I said God redeems, that means there's a closet. I have my closet. Now, he's just been squeaky clean all of his life. You see, he grew up in a preacher's home, and he knew Jesus when he was kneeling on a pile of dirty clothes and just talking to Jesus as a 3- and 4-year-old. But not me. I grew up in a cussing, swearing family, where a dinner table usually ended up in a screaming match between my mother and my father. It wasn't a nice, functional family. My mother and father stayed together because they were from the old school. You're supposed to do that. You may hate each other, but you stay together. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I did come home, even if it was a screaming match at the table at night. At least there was a father and a mother around the table. Amen? Amen. So, in all of our lives, we have keys. And we all have a closet. His closet is empty. My closet was full. Full of a lot of things that I did that I deeply regret. Things that left a lot of black marks upon my life and upon my spirit, my mind, my thinking, my attitude about life. And so what we do, and I don't think I'm the only person, I'm sure it's got to be the other church, but I know you all don't have this, but just in case you meet people that are facing this, you can help them, okay? So what I did is I just took this key and I stuffed all these things in a closet and I locked that door. And so when Jesus came in, I said, oh, Jesus, you know, I love you. You can have every room, but just don't go near the closet. That's why people never have the victories in life that they need, because they've never given Jesus the key to that closet. They carry the hurts, the brokenness. They carry the pain of children who have, even though they thought they were being a good parent, that kids did wrong, husband left. So many things are so painful in our lives, and especially in American culture. And so when we come to Jesus, instead of being honest and letting God go in and claim those things, we say, no, I'll give you all the good stuff now. Now I sing in the choir. Now I lead the youth group. Now I'm the woman's leader. And now I do nice things in the community. And I just look so wonderful. But you can't have the key to the closet. And I'm going to forget those things. But I'm telling you, God didn't mean for you to forget them. He didn't mean for me to forget my ugly past. He didn't mean for me to forget the mouth that was swore like a trooper and could tell filthy jokes like a sailor. Because I grew up with that until I came to Jesus. When God redeems you and myself, don't forget it. But let him heal it. Heal it. And you know how the healing comes? When we know that God will take everything the enemy ever meant for evil and he turns it around and he makes a testimony out of it. A testimony of the power of God to heal a broken heart, to heal a broken family, to heal a broken self-esteem that was crushed because people had abused you in ways that you should never been abused. So I'm saying to you today, my closet's wide open for Jesus. I gave him the key. It took me a while to realize the key didn't belong to me anyway. Everything in the closet wasn't mine. It's Jesus's. And now, what I do to put the enemy in this place, I say, God, what's ever in that closet, whoever I meet in life, if they need to hear about something that's been in that closet collecting dust, you just dust it off and use it. Amen? And there is our victory, saints. So then all of the guilt and all of the shame, everything that made us not feel whole and beautiful on the inside, it begins to turn, and you begin to see yourself in a brand new light. So clean, so whole, so unashamed, and so excited to know that I'm going to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's my prayer for you today. Give them the key. Say, God, use those things to make a difference in somebody's life, that they will know what God has done for me, he'll do for you. God bless you.
Wow. And I have to follow. They overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Wow. Are you ready?
Amen.
I've come with the word. I really believe that God put on my heart several days ago when I was asking the Lord about this morning. It's not a message particularly on healing, though I am expecting some miracles to take place this morning. How many of y'all have pain in your body this morning? Anybody sitting here with pain? Raise your hand. Wow. I believe you can leave without pain this morning, and it may happen while I'm ministering the word. The Lord began to use us very definitely in healing ministry about 33 years ago, even while we were pastoring. That ministry opened doors for us internationally, which took us to many nations. And through my time at studying at Regent University, I came in contact with Dr. Foltz, who founded the organization called Accelerated International Mission Strategies, which came into existence because of his heart to teach churches that are doing missions to do it smarter. He always told us, he said, any church that does missions is smart, but we can always do it smarter. In fact, he developed a whole training called Mission Smarter out of that concept. But he became a mentor, and through Regent University, more doors began to open for us in Asia. And we've seen awesome miracles happen even when we're teaching in our seminars with pastors and leaders or just ministering in a church on a Sunday on the weekend. I remember being in a local church on a Sunday morning. My wife was there. And when you're in these countries, India has over 200 languages that are spoken. So don't ask me which one I've learned, because I haven't. I speak through interpreters. And so we were ministering after delivering a message that morning to the people who needed healing. And they were coming up front, and my interpreter stand beside me. And we had seen several miraculous healings take place that morning. And then this one short Indian lady, the whole church knew her, of course I didn't, so I was asking her through the interpreter what she needed, and he looked at me because he knew her and said, she cannot hear and she cannot speak. Now those of you who were in the training yesterday understand the difference of what goes on in the head and the heart. And your head wants to kick in immediately and say with the doubt, but your heart is saying yes, so you listen to that instead of the doubt in your head. Because God put faith in your heart, not your head. Amen? And so I listened to that heart. And at that time, I was still saying, Lord, are you going to do this? And he said, yes, I'm going to do it. So I knew Jesus dealt with this situation in the scripture. In the Gospels, you have a story of this. So I just said, well, this is all I know to do, what I read. So I put my hands on her ears, and I said, ears be open. And I said, be able to speak. And that's all I said. And then I said to the interpreter, what's happening? And he didn't answer me, but she did. And she said, I can hear you. I could tell you many stories of the miraculous power of Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And when he ascended to the Father, he didn't stop doing what he began. He has continued to do through us, those who are followers of Christ. And not just we who are ordained ministers, recognized as having some kind of pulpit or teaching ministry, but the believer. And if you are a believer, these signs shall follow the believer. And that's what we were teaching about yesterday. And that's why we did the training yesterday morning. You heard about and heard a testimony, because last night I prayed for no one. But everybody that was there yesterday morning, they came and they ministered across that front of that fence sanctuary last night. And healings took place. Not because somebody had some position, but we all have a position at Calvary. Amen. Amen. And that position of faith and trust in Jesus has brought us into a relationship with the miracle worker. And his name is Jesus. Amen. So I have no doubts this morning that somebody, if not all of you, are going to leave without your pain. And it may happen while I'm ministering the word. My word this morning is not necessarily about healing, but we'll minister to you in a little bit as God allows us to. Is that all right? Amen. How many came expecting? Amen. Amen. I was traveling several years back into a village that I really don't want to go back to again in India. Sorry, I'm just real. Just saying. I've been there 3 times. I haven't been back for a couple of years, and I'm hoping it will be a lot longer. But to get there, you have to go by train, then you have to get into a car, and you have to go on this bumpy road. And I remember several years ago riding with the bishop to this place. He was over that whole region, and the headquarters church, if you want to call it that, was there in this little village. But to get there, it was really rough. It was hard on your body. And we're driving on this, and we had hit so many bumps, you know, and you're doing about 15 miles per hour, if you could even do that, and about a 2-hour ride on this road. And I looked over and said, boy, this is really bumpy. And he looked over, he's driving, and he says, yeah, Jesus said we would suffer for him. And I didn't blink an eye. I said, yes, I know that. There's some things Jesus said that I really don't like. And he laughed at me. He said, I've never heard anybody say that before. And there are things in the Word and there are things in life that God permits, or that's in the Word that says we will experience. In this world, you will have tribulation. I don't necessarily like that. I don't like the fact that they who are godly will also suffer persecution. You know, if I was writing it, I might have argued with the Holy Spirit at the time and said, do I really have to write that? But I wasn't the one writing it, thank God. And the author, the Holy Spirit, through the men that were chosen, wrote this, and they were faithful to what God was speaking to them to do that. So we accept those things, whether we like them or not. Well, don't you just go ahead and admit to somebody sitting next to you, there are things you just don't like. But that does not mean that we are exempted from them. I'm going to be going to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, a very familiar portion of Scripture this morning with you. And that's always dangerous for people I know who are sitting here. You are students of the Word. You have an awesome pastor. I have heard him several times in yesterday several times I have heard him. And he is faithful to the Word of God. Do you love your pastor? Amen. Amen. Why don't you let you know we love your pastor. Appreciate you and your family. Amen. And we honor and we respect the pastors that God has placed over the fellowships wherever we go. And we have different giftings. I think congregations need to understand that. I pastored for 30-some years, and I always loved it. I'd have an evangelist or a minister come in on a Sunday, and God had tailor-made the word for that congregation. They come in and basically preach the same word that the congregation has heard several times recently. And somebody invariably on the way out would say, "Pastor, boy, that was a good word, you know, like they never heard it before." You just shake your hand and say, "I'm so glad you received that this morning." You really, as a pastor, just thankful. Finally, somebody got through. So we have different gifts, but sometimes God tailor makes that word, and this is just human nature. And so when I leave, I want to leave you constantly respecting your pastor, because that is who God has given you. Amen. And receive the word this morning, but you keep honoring your pastor and appreciating the gifts that he has given to you. I always tried to find men and women whose gifts were somewhat different than mine when I was a pastor, because that would complement the ministry. It would make up where I was lacking in areas. Sometimes that was very, very, very good when we learned to do that. Amen. So appreciate the giftings that God has placed in your own body, and then appreciate those who come whose gifts just complement, come in and fill in those little gaps where they are in the body. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 40, 31. While you are there, if you're not there yet, sometimes you and I will not move. We won't transition. We won't accept transformation or transition until we're forced to. I remembered a statement I heard at one time, wrote it down and memorized it, and I don't have to read it anymore, because it has to do with change, and I guess the older that I become, the more I understand it. And one of the statements was, you can tell how old you are by how much pain you experience when you're confronted with change. And the other statement is, and John Maxwell said this, he said, until the pain of change becomes greater than the pain of remaining the same, you won't change. So God loves us too much to leave us like we are, so he allows pain of staying the same to become greater than the pain of change. Now, I know I have your attention, y'all looking at me, just expecting me to lay it on you. I am not the one going to inflict pain this morning. Joseph needed the pit. To bring him into his providential destiny that preserved Israel, so that you and I could be blessed through Abraham's seed. Daniel needed a lion's den. And if you were to ask Daniel, "Would you like to go to the lion's den?" I will tell you what he would say. No. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, needed a fiery furnace that a fourth man could be revealed to an unbelieving nation and their leaders. Now fasten your seatbelt. Jesus needed a betrayer. That would take him to a cross where he would take my sin and my sickness and my disease. Every hard place that God allows in our life is not to destroy us. It is to get our attention. It is for some of us to wake us up and say, you got to move if you're going to grow, if you're going to become better. You've got to do something. You've got to go somewhere you've never gone. You've got to do something you've never done before. You do not grow unless you do something you've never done. Go somewhere you've never gone. Learn something you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know till you learn what you didn't know. Well, don't ask me to say that again. But we have too many people who are just sitting service after service after service, and they're not growing. They're not moving. They are established. Reminds me of the man every midweek service, his testimony. They had testimony time, midweek service. Pastor, I'm not making much progress, but I'm established. He was a farmer, and it had rained terribly one season. And one of the new believers in the church came along one day and saw this brother. His wagon had gotten off the road in a rut in the mud, and he couldn't get it out. And the new believer comes strolling by, and he says, oh, brother, he says, I see you're not making much progress, but you're established. Well, while we're laughing, I know it's really a serious matter. When our lives get stuck and we're not growing and we're not transitioning from this level to the next level, but God is going to allow circumstances that are hard, if you please, whether it is a pit for Joseph, a lion's den, a fiery furnace, a Judas to betray us, He will allow something in our lives to get our attention, to wake us up, and to push us out of that rut that we are stuck in, because He wants us to follow Him where He wants to take us. Amen. 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 Now, many in the church are tired. I travel, I'm in the churches. Pastors are tired. Associates are tired. Music directors are tired. People are tired of church. Let me say it like this, church for church. Because this is what we're supposed to do. And people and workers are tired. How can that be changed? Let me read a text to you, and then I want to go on a little bit. And if you don't mind, I want to take my... I want to communicate efficiently. I don't want to take more time than necessary, but I really believe God wants to speak into someone's heart this morning. And you are listening so intent, you're almost scaring me. So Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait, underscore the word wait, because I'm going to deal with it a little later. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Renewal, transitioning from weakness, transitioning from the past into new strength and new abilities, never is easy, not even for an eagle. And we have eagles sitting here. I'm seeing a lot of eagles. An eagle is noted for its vision. Let me hit these quickly. For its vision, can spot another eagle 50 miles away. An eagle is fearless. They never surrender to any other creature because of size or the strength of that animal. And they can even make them their prey. An eagle will taunt a mountain goat, much larger than itself, and just taunt it until it pushes it over the cliff to where it can have fresh meat to eat. An eagle is tenacious. It takes advantage even of the very storm that nobody's aware of, but it has a sense with its wings of the undertow of the winds even before a storm comes. And it can take advantage of those up currents, those updrafts, because an eagle has primary and secondary feathers, and it's designed in such a way that it can actually create its own updraft before a storm comes that allows it to circle in the lower areas where all the other pesky birds are. But in a little bit, you'll see that bird on the thermal updrafts that God has created and given him the ability to create. He'll soar up above, and when the storm comes in, he's still where the sun is shining. The eagle can fly higher than any other bird, has been seen at 10,000 feet. That means it doesn't have to stay down here and have its wings pecked away by pesky pigeons. Now look around to somebody and say, I sure hope you aren't a pigeon. I don't see no pigeons here. An eagle never eats dead meat. An eagle is not a scavenger. It will only eat what it kills. Oh, I could do a whole sermon right there. As y'all, we got folks in the church waiting for the pastor to kill it so they can eat it. Yeah, you run with that one. Number six, if you're taking notes, they nurture their young. They bring them into this world. They take care of them until they can fly on their own. And the last one that I'll share with you is vitality. Listen to me. They never give up on life. That takes me to my text. They never give up living. An eagle somehow has an ability to remember what they were like when they have become older. And they want to regain. They want to renew that youthful strength. Isn't that awesome? So they may be able to, in a sense, look back and evaluate where they were and what they are now. But then there is a process that God has built instinctively into the eagle that allows them to renew their strength. And now I want to talk about that for a little bit. Because in this renewal, it is a transitioning, it is a transformation, if you please, that takes place through suffering. Well, I thought he was going to get his heel. We're already suffering. Well, I'm not talking about physical suffering. you'll understand as I talk about this even more, if you don't already understand the process, that in the scientific world of an eagle, it is called molting. And this molting process for an eagle is really a suffering aspect to them. All right, so when an eagle becomes somewhere around the age of 30 years old, what has happened by the time they are 30, the calcium has built up on the talons, okay? So they can't grab their food as quickly and hold it like they used to be able to. So a lot of their food, their prey, can escape from their claws, their talons, because those talons have become broken, calcium buildup, all those kind of things. They're not as sharp as they used to be. But then their feathers, By the time they reach this certain age, it makes them heavier because what has happened is there has been dust and dirt and oil that has accumulated on the eagle's feathers. So now we can't create the updrafts as easily as it used to. When it dives from the heights and it sees the rabbit, and it dives because of all this dirt and stuff and oil built up on the wings, it creates a whistling sound that sends a warning to the prey, and so the prey escapes, and so the eagle has to spend more time than it used to in order to feed itself. So with all of this happening, let me ask a question. How do you know when it's time for transition? How do you know when it's time for a transformation? Maybe I'm talking about this morning because I've been through it several times, and the first couple of times I really didn't understand what was happening, and I was frustrated for lack of understanding. My mind was in a questioning mode. My emotionals were on a roller coaster up and down. I was believing one day and saying, what's going on the next day? And depressed one day and hallelujah the next day. And God, what is going on here with my emotions? What's going on with my mind? Am I losing this? Well, nobody here ever been there. Because I didn't understand. Nobody had taught me that there is a process of transition and transformation that God has instinctively built into the believer in Christ Jesus, that when we come to a certain place where we think we know everything, we know how to do it, we got our methods, we know church, we know what we know about the Word, we know how to live consistently, we are eagles. But what we don't realize is with time as a believer, some of that old stuff has got to go. That old oil has got to be removed. That old dirt stuff that was good has become dirt on my wings. And I am not as sharp in my talons. And my beak has become broken. And I can't do anymore. Well, God, what is going on? Where is this fresh anointing? Why am I not seeing what I used to see when I was younger in you? Why am I praying longer to get an answer? Why am I studying the Word and I'm getting nothing new? And it's because God is saying, time to transition. I want to take you on. Time to get rid of the old and put on some new. Wow. Maybe you're frustrated with where you are. Frustration is a sign from God. Time to move on. Time for change. Time to transform. Time. You're going into transition when your frustrations are more than your joys. I'm not talking about church. That can be business. That can be the workplace. That can be an educational. This can be applied in a lot of different ways on the believer's life. I teach a lot of leaders in the church, so I make a lot of application because I'm a church leader and I minister to a lot of church leaders. What else is going on? When you're aware that you have more potential than what is being used where you are. You've outgrown where you've been. What used to look big to you isn't big anymore. And the more you grow in Christ, the things that used to look big in the kingdom aren't big anymore. That's nothing now. But do you stay there? I don't think so. I think I'll take my goldfish out of that small bowl and put him in a 50-gallon tank and watch him grow. That's what God wants to do in our lives. When we outgrow and it becomes frustrating, and the frustrations are more than our joys, and we become aware we have more potential than this little tank that I'm in. I can be more brilliant. I can grow bigger. I can bless more people. And then I become aware the anointing is changing. Nobody ever taught me the anointing transitions. I had to learn it through experience. I had to come to understand, yeah, I could do this. I still do some of that. But my anointing transitioned from pastoring to international leadership training. Are you listening to me? I could still be pastoring. I think God would still bless it. But my potential was more than one church. Oh. You say, well, that sounds prideful. No, I'm not trying to be proudful. I'm just trying to be honest with myself and God and you this morning. God brings things from you. He takes you through the processes and gives you experiences that are preparing you for your next level. There are tests here that when you pass them, you can go to the next level. There's that person who betrayed you, that really hurts you, was your closest confidant, but done something that betrayed you. Now you learn to forgive them, and they begin to support you again, like it's been done with me. Now they pray for us. We chose to forgive. Now they pray. Now they give. But the betrayal was like somebody took a fist, knocked me in the belly, knocked the wind out of me, sent me to bed for 3 days. It hurts. But you get up and you forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you're going to stay in that box. But if you forgive and God can restore, He's got another level for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So here's an eagle, okay? I've tried to describe him to you. He comes into a time of great weakness. Why? Because his strength is not what it used to be. Instinctively, the eagle knows this has changed. He leaves the heights, and whoever you read about will tell you they either go into a valley somewhere alone, or they come down from the heights somewhere into another place on a mountain alone. They begin to take their talons on the stone, and they wear them until there are none left. They beat their nose on the rock until there is no beak left. Their feathers begin to fall out. They're in a time of molting. And those feathers fall out, and what doesn't fall out, they try to scrape off, somehow get out what remains. And at this point, if you looked at that eagle, he would be walking more like a turkey. Because that's exactly what I felt like. I wasn't feeling like an eagle during the transition times. And I'm sure the way I talked, and maybe the way I even preached during those times, somebody out there says, who is this turkey? They are weak. They are so vulnerable because now they are defenseless. Their strength has completely left them. But I am so glad that the Apostle Paul wrote, when I am weak, then He is strong. And in my weakness, something begins to transpire in this spiritual body. This body that is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that didn't understand, but now has some kind that when I'm going through transition, and I'm going through it, I'm in it now. But I understand it better now. It doesn't send me on a roller coaster anymore. I say, God, I submit, have your way. I'm not going to fight this. When you understand it, you stop fighting God's working. Amen? And so what they depend on at this point, they depend on other eagles to bring them and drop them food to eat because they can't hunt anymore for themselves. There are times you look around you, eagles, there's a brother or sister who's going to need you to drop them some food when they're in this time of transitioning and renewing strength. But even if you don't do that, and I did not have anybody dropping me food in my transitions, sorry to say, the church has not been taught to care for each other, to recognize the times when that brother or sister looks like a turkey. You don't condemn them. You don't say what's going on in their life and leave them alone. You get to them and you drop them some food. You care for the other eagles in that time. But I can't say I had that going on. But I am so glad that Psalms 103:5 says this, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you understand that's a reference to what I'm talking about in Psalms 103? That if nobody drops you as a child of God, as an eagle in the kingdom, and you're going through the molting, you're looking and you're weak like an eagle, you have no feathers, you have no beak, you have worn down your talons, you are at everybody's mercy and God's alone. He will supply your mouth with good things and renew your strength. And that's where I ran to. I said, God, you got to give me a word. You got to open the book to me. You got to feed me. He was faithful to do that. Now listen to me. And I'm going to talk to ministers especially here. How many preachers are in the house? Yeah, a few of us. When we go on through these, keep your integrity. It's these times when leaders, eagles in the kingdom, don't understand what's going on. They are vulnerable to do stupid stuff. Somebody say stupid stuff. Do I need to tell you what I mean by stupid stuff? I don't think so, because we're hearing about it all the time. The man, the minister who has served the Lord faithfully, lived a life of integrity, suddenly gets tempted to take money that doesn't belong to him. A man who has been faithful in his marriage all of his life, 30, 40, 50 years, all of a sudden word comes out he has had this affair with somebody. Why does this happen? Because they have come to a place that is very vulnerable and they don't understand. At 30 and 40 years of ministry, God isn't finished with you yet. He wants to transition you. And understand in those ages that you are vulnerable. When you have been faithful and you have lived a life so long, the enemy comes and says, now it's time for you to have something for yourself. Don't you listen to that. You have given your whole life to the kingdom and for others. Don't stop doing that. Your reward will be in heaven. Whether you get anything for yourself here or not, don't you yield to the temptations of the stupid stuff. Now I'm preaching to myself. Look at somebody and say, he can be stupid. And I know you said that with respect. I hope my wife said it with respect. Be patient. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my plea. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He has set my feet upon a rock. He has established my goings. He has put a new song in my heart, even praise to God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalms 40. I was going through one of those transition times. That song became my bread. That became my meat that God gave me. Psalms 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I learned to praise Him in the dark night of the soul when it is the blackest before the sunrise. I have learned to praise Him in expectation. Hallelujah. The sun is going to shine again. And I have learned to praise Him that the talons will grow and the beak will be sharp and the feathers will be clean again. I praise Him in expectation of all of that in the time of transition. And let your inner nature, the nature of Christ, sustain you. You have a nature, no matter what you look like on the outside, no matter what you feel like, no matter what your thoughts are, there is an internal nature, for you have been born again and you have a nature of Jesus Christ inside of you. Let that inner nature sustain you, like Paul who said, I know whom I have believed. Like Job who said, oh, I couldn't find you. I've looked for you, God, but you were hiding yourself on me. But I want you to know that if I could write it with a pen or engrave it in a stone, this would be my witness. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah! If you can know in whom you have believed and know your Redeemer lives, then you can let your inner nature sustain you through it all. Now, if you can survive, a lot of eagles don't survive the transition. But I'm so glad David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where they are. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Nobody else may be. I may look ugly, but thou art with me. And I am right at the verge of death. Many don't make it. But I can tell you, you can make it. Because I have made it. And more than me, He made it. He walked right through the valley. And He experienced death. And He conquered it. And He's alive. The old song says, because He lives, I can face the transition. Oh, I know that wasn't in the song. I just made a new song. Hallelujah. But if you can survive the shame and the exposure, that molding produces, that stripping process actually paves the way for an eagle to become greater and stronger than it was before. And a wonderful thing happens. When this process of several months is over, that eagle leaves the hiding place, the place of solitude. Listen to me. I'm a pastor. And had I understood this many years ago, I would understand why some of my church people, I didn't see them for several months. They were in hiding. They were in transition. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean I'm giving you permission to skip church. That is not at all what I'm saying. So don't walk out of here and say, that preacher, pastor, said I don't have to come. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying, if you go through transition and you get that place, it's better to be honest with your leadership what's going on so they can be a part and help feed you.
Amen.
Amen. And you can understand without the shame and everything that goes with it and being misunderstood and misjudged of what will happen in the church if you just don't show up for 3 months. Wow. But a wonderful thing happens. The feathers grow. The talons grow. And that beautiful beak comes back. And the eagle comes out from the hiding place. Walks out and looks straight up at the sun. Spreads its wings looking for that thermal updraft. Takes a few shallow circles, checking it out. Says, man, they're lighter than they were before. Some of y'all bearing some heavy burden. They're lighter than they were before. I feel strong. I feel rested. Wow, my strength is renewed. And they get on the thermal updraft one more time. And like an eagle, they soar to the heights. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who, but I'm talking to somebody. Their youth has been revitalized. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for a moment. If you've heard this message this morning and you think this is describing where you are right now, can I ask you to come and stand with me this morning? If this is describing where you are, God sent His word for you. I want you to come stand right here. Is there someone else that should have been here? Those of you who are standing, you've either already been through it, understand exactly what I've talked about, or you've not been through it and God sent His word to tell you, get ready, it will happen. Understand when it happens, what's going on. Amen. But I never expected this many to come forward. But I still can't pray for you till I ask one more time, is there someone else? Holy Spirit, thank you. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to pray. I know how to describe it. But I'm not exactly sure how to pray. But I think in your spirit there's something that's saying, I know. Because you know exactly what level you're at. Amen. So can we just, as the body of, can we just lift our hands in praise? And if you want to pray, pray. Because God sent His word to you. Now I want Him to seal the word in you. To carry you through the process completely. And bring you out strong, renewed as an eagle. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the analogy, the picture you've given us in Scripture of this eagle. Not just once, but 30 sometimes in Scripture you have spoken about the eagle. And at least a couple times in a reference to this molting process that you wanted us somehow to get a hold of in our spirit. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you that life, God, we have vitality just like an eagle. We're not giving up on life. Life in the Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit, life in the power of God, life in being able to produce the food, God, out of your word, life that allows us to see from heaven's perspectives as we're able to soar to the heavens and look down up on the elements of this earth. God, those things that belong to an eagle's life, God, thank you. We give you praise because we have been there. We know what it's like, God, to be an eagle with all of its energy and vitality and youthfulness. God, we also know what it's like to be restored. And some may be here first time saying, that's what's going on in my life. Some may be going through it for another time. And God wants more strength. Lord, thank you. I love that word wait. God, in the Hebrew, is a word that literally means to become entangled with your God. They that will entangle themselves at this point in the Word of God and in the voice of God, they that wait upon the Lord, entangled, tied up, twisted up in the Word of God, shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we speak that to your people this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to let go of what we need to let go of, what we've learned. We've learned it about church. We've learned things about the Spirit. We've learned our methods. We've learned our programs. And now, God, those old talents, take them. That means you got to work in my mind. You got to change how I'm thinking. Because until you change how I think, I don't change what I do. Change my thinking. Show me your ways. They're new ways. Oh God, principles are the same, but the tactics, the methods are always changing. And God, I become old. I don't like change. But God, you brought us to a place where we're saying this morning, I'm that eagle. I'm not sharp anymore. I am not as light as I was. God, I've got all this stuff. And most of us have got church stuff on us. Now, God, remove it. Change our minds. Revolutionize us from the inside out. Show us your ways. Teach us your ways. We're living in another generation. Your word never changes. But God, we've got to give this word in a way to this generation that they can understand and they can come into the kingdom and it will change our church. Hallelujah. So God, take the old. Take the old. Thank you, Jesus. My Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I'm supposed to ask somebody standing here to just lead in prayer. Would somebody just lead us in prayer?
Do you come to you in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you that you are here, Lord. And we receive what you have for us this day. Thank you, Father God, that in the days ahead, Lord, we know what we're going through. We know how to come out of it victorious. Because we're going to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Father, I just thank you right now that as we seek your face, Lord God, you will in no wise turn from us, but you will give us what we need.
Yes,
and
you
I
will.
Thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it.
Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. Now, I want you to look at somebody. I want you to say this. This fishbowl is too small. Now I want you to look at me, and I want you to do this. This fishbowl is too small. I think I need to do that again. This fishbowl is too small.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Some of y'all outgrew this building mentally a long time ago. Are you listening to me? If God transitions, you allow God to transition all of you, this place is too small. Wow. Am I talking to you? Holy Spirit, thank you. Wow. It's about people. It's not about a building. Buildings are tools. Amen. So you always go for the tools that are needed to get the work of the kingdom done. You just did do it for building's sake. Amen. And God just doesn't transition you just to say, oh, I'm going to remove them, renew their strength so they can be a young eagle again. No, He's got a purpose for you. He's going to move you into where you can operate with that new, renewed eagle strength. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you. You received that word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. The Lord of thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have pain in your body, you need healing, I want you up here. If you're not already here, if you're here and you don't have pain, you can sit down for a minute. But if you're already here, stay here. If you're not here and you have pain and you need a healing in your body, you have a sickness, disease, infirmity, or pain, I want you to come. Come quickly. Listen, I told him last night, I learned a long time ago, God heals a whole lot quicker than I preach. All He has to do is look at you and give a nod of His head. All He has to do is point His finger your way and it's done. That's it. Doesn't take God long to heal. Amen. Can I ask you who need healing to sit down here on the front pew? I grew up when we did the prayer lines and we had all the well people sitting and all the sick people standing. Yeah, it's laughable, isn't it? But that's how we had learned to do church in those days. So God had to change my mind. He had to break me out of that. And so now I have those who are not well sit, while we who are well stand. It makes more sense, Pastor, doesn't it? And I also learned I don't have to close my eyes when I speak the word for people's healings. Because I'll miss the miracle if I do. I want to see it. Amen. Because I read the Gospels one time and Jesus never closed His eyes when He healed people. Never pushed them over. And never screamed at them. Not even when He cast out devils. He just spoke to them and they left. So I've tried to pattern our ministry after what I read in the Gospels, not after those that I had been mentored by or were modeling by me watching a lot of times in old Pentecost. Where's your pain? You have pain? Back and shoulder. Back and shoulder? Lower and upper? Hi, sis. You have pain? My brother, you have pain? In your joints. Your right shoulder. Stand up. Can you raise that shoulder? Where's the pain? Is it there now? Put it down. Where else did you say you had pain? In your hands. Yeah. Got grip. I'm coming down. Where's your pain? Yours? Neck and your wrist. Pastor, how's your hand this morning? A little tight in the joints. We spoke the word yesterday. We're going to have a complete good report, aren't we? Holy Spirit, thank you. Who was in the training yesterday morning and with us last night? Anyone else? Come here. You don't think you're just going to get to sit, do you? Stay right over there. You and Pastor and my wife's going to help. We all know how to speak the word. Amen. So I'm going to loose them on this side. And I'm going to come over here. And let's see what Jesus will do. Is that all right? And you know the upper back shoulders. You know how to do it. Pastor, you were there. And I know my wife, she's probably more powerful than, yeah. But let's do it. Amen. And y'all, would you like to come and stand with us? You might even see something happen. If you want to come and join us, I want you to. Come on. You can watch over here. You can come over here. Bless you. All right. Stand up again. This shoulder.
Yes.
How much pain is it right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest.
Right at this moment, zero.
Zero. Zero. Where is it there? About a three. Where was it when I had you stand up a little while ago? About a five. God's releasing healing. He's releasing the healing. Holy Spirit, thank you. Bring it to a zero. Let me do this. I want to see something. Why don't you put your arms straight to your side and bring them out like this with your fingers straight. Oh, that was a little stiff. Don't raise it that high. Bring it right here and bring them in front of you. And keep your fingers straight. And I want to see. So give me the weight of your arms. Relax. Put your fingers straight. Holy Spirit. Every bit of that pain and that stiffness, whatever's going on in that joint and in these limbs, you go. And anything, put your fingers straight again. Give me the weight. And relax. You're still holding your arms. Yeah. What do you do for work? Retired electrician, but you're still doing it. Keep your fingers straight. I want to see something. Those who are here, I want you to look at this. You see? Right now his left arm is looking shorter than the right arm. It's not just his shoulder. Something was out of place in his back. This vertebrae, I'm not a doctor or a chiropractor. About all I know is this vertebrae is the nerves get pinched. But I know to speak the word, and I know what I can see when I can see it. So Holy Spirit, thank you. Straighten your fingers one more time for me. They came out straight. Put your arms down. Now I want you to check again. You having to check real hard for it? That gave me my answer, my friend. You were having a problem holding your arm out like that. How is that now? It feels better. Can you do them both? Just like an eagle, huh?
Yes.
You had pain when you did that a minute ago. Holy Spirit, thank you. Somebody give the Lord some praise. Keep it in place for him, Father. And Lord, not only keep the healing in place, use him for your purposes, because he can do this for others. In Jesus' name. Come here, hon. Now, you said your neck? You have pain when you come up here? No, you didn't. Did you have pain when you came to church? It's off. How am I going to deal with that? I'm going to check. I'm going to check anyway. Put your arms straight out to your side and bring them in front of you. Fingers straight. And give me, I'm going to take 1 inch. Give me the weight of your arms and keep your fingers straight. What do you do for work? Oh, my God. I would have never, I didn't even get a word of knowledge on that one. Wow. You got to be an awesome woman. No wonder you got neck problems. Not the truck driving, the five children. You know what? You're looking good here. I was waiting to see if, well, it is moved a little. Father, put it completely in place and hold it. Keep it. Don't let any pain return on this lady. What's your name? Rena. I was close. I said lady. You know, serving Jesus is joy. And even ministering to people, it's joy. And you can have fun while you're ministering to people. That's how Jesus did it. He spoke to them. How many times I've just been talking about some of his grandkids and their pain leaving God healed. They would start relaxing and God's able to work. Why? This isn't for you, man. This is for you. Holy Spirit, deep down in heaven, release your healing. You've been doing a good work. Bring it to its completion. And let her soar like an eagle. In Jesus' name. Amen. He knows you. By name, even. Your shoulder? Your neck? Your wrist? And your lower back? Now, I got to think about this. Can God do this? Y'all sound awful sure.
Yeah.
You want God to use you in healing? Yeah, I don't know. He sure would love to. Wow. Wow. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. Let me check your lower back first. Sit straight. I mean, we haven't done this one yet. Give me your feet. Does that hurt where I hold them? I don't want to hurt you. I want to see if they're... Yeah. Y'all looking over my shoulder? Do you see this? Am I pushing in on your feet? I'm pushing in on his feet too. Just so you know, I'm not pulling them out. Healing. Wow. Wow. How long have you had this?
I had it back some
18 years. How long have you had pain?
On and off
through 18 months.
Years.
I can take a minute. We can get this. If you've had it that long, we can take a minute. Every disc and vertebrae in that back, you go into proper place. I don't know what they did in the surgeries, but God, something's still creating pain. I command it to go. Disc and vertebrae to go in place. And oh my, and hold in place. Wow. You see that? Oh, he's still working. He's still working. You feel heat in your back? Okay. Just thought I'd ask. I'm going to put your feet down. Stand up. Could you bend over before? Without pain?
Yeah, it's mainly standing.
It's standing. Let me check your upper back. Like we've been doing. Straight out to your side. Bring them to your finger straight. I'm going to take one hand in each of mine. And finger straight. Oh, you did relax those on me. One of the few people that I'm actually do that. I hope you trust Jesus more. All right, finger straight. Yeah. Your upper's about like your legs were. Holy Spirit. How old are you? No, don't tell me.
I'm fixing to retire.
You see, while you were laughing, what happened? Just like that. Did laughter do that? No. Jesus was doing some of that. I'm going to hold it here a minute because it's still moving. You feel that moving? Yeah. Look at this. I had this, when I first started this, I saw it go the opposite way. And I said, oh God, please don't leave it like that. And he did it. He brought it back. So if you're praying for people like this and that happens, he's still working. He's still adjusting that back. He's not growing arms. He's adjusting your back. Yes, we'll get that right. Is that okay? Now, I did have one lady. She was born with one leg shoulder. And that leg did grow. That was not a back adjustment. But that was one time in 33 years. Most of the time, he's adjusting backs, releasing pressure off of nerves, making back straight. Whoa. I felt that. Jesus, thank you. We're going to put your arms down. All right. Well, you said the lower back, it was standing. You've been standing a while. How are we doing? It's good. You want to check your shoulder, your neck, whatever? It's good. Now, where else? Yeah, you already checking it. Hasn't he done enough? I do have a sense of humor. And I'm glad you do too. No, he can finish it. Finish it, Jesus. Just because, Lord. Just because. I don't need a reason. It hurts. That's reason enough. It needs to function right. That's reason enough. Thank you. Check it. While he's doing this, tell me some stories. What happened over on the other side of the church this morning? What happened over there? Ah. So you better been watching quick. My friend, what happened? And they're good. Don't tell me everybody's getting healed this morning. Yes. Yeah. good? It's good. Hi, my friend. What happened? Kinda? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. My sister? It's gone. You mean what it says in the Gospels really happens? He healed them all. He's still doing it. Oh, check it. Even less. It's all going to go. That one's gone completely, and that's going to be. Amen. Pain of the wrist is gone. And Jesus. Amen. Jesus, thank you. Huh? You felt it come out. He's your grandson. Wow. And the Lord's going to use you too. Listen, what He has done for you, you're a believer. Go and do this for people. You've seen it demonstrated. You have been exposed to it. I'm telling you, you can bring healing to other people. Wow, to your generation. Yes. Amen. Use it, Father, for your glory and your purposes. We're hungry for you. We're hungry to see signs and wonders following, confirming your word. God, thank you that we can be obedient to deliver the word you give us and see people healed too. Thank you for that. Thank you for this church, Father. I speak blessings on this fellowship, upon pastor, his family, the leaders of this congregation. Father, the people who attend here and those who are going to come, I speak increase in every aspect in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you. Amen. 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 Pastor?
I need your assistance because I had to leave a little bit early. When I was young and dumb, stupid. I never.
Not you too.
I'm being honest. I was good at playing football, but I never liked to lift weights.
Yeah.
The guy said, "We need godly weights."
Yeah.
And I tried to squat. Well, it took care of me, but when I squatted too much and I pulled my back, I walked around like this for about a week. And every now and again, I haven't had any symptoms in a while.
Okay.
It's my faith. But I want you to check and make sure my back is in alignment. Because see, I missed that participation. Because I'm not expecting to have that anymore because I'm not stupid anymore.
That's right. Amen. 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 The Holy Spirit. This is awesome. Isn't this awesome? To be in His presence. Scripture says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wow. Let's see. They might be all right. What are we going to do then?
Jesus said, "Do not leave until you know you got what you came for."
Where was that?
It's in my heart.
Oh, I was trying to think of a scripture. Was that Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Let's check it, my friend. You are out of a line. Yes, and it is moving right now. Do you see it? Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. It moved just like that, my friend. Put them back. Straighten yourself again. And bring them to me. We're going to look at this.
Heal to heal.
Heal to heal. Yes. How much was it off? About like that.
That's way too much.
Yeah. That'll cause you some hurt. I'm surprised you weren't in pain. God was good for you. Yes. Amen. Somebody help me up. I'm getting too old for this. Lord, renew my strength. Amen. It's yours, Pastor.
God, awesome. Oh gosh, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I might have to get me some new shoes now. I think I done worn that heel down or something. Dorothy ain't got nothing on Jesus. Remember her clicking those heels together? I want to go home. I want to be healed. You feeling good, Angel? No pain, right? Thank you, Jesus. Now, Elaine's got some books if you need them. We had about 10, minus maybe one, but I'm going to order some more. The Lord told me to take them last night, but I was running a little bit behind, but they still have a purpose. It's by Dr. Hagen, How to Keep Your Healing. Because teachers teach you something. When you leave here, the devil, he's going to try to steal something. That's what he is. He's a thief. He's going to try to steal. We're just going to tell you the truth. Because your pastor's got to tell you to be, he's there to warn you, to instruct you, because he does the same thing. So if you need that little book, Elaine's got it. And if you don't get one, you want one, let me know. We're going to order some more. But it's How to Keep Your Healing. Because God wants you to, he wants you well. Andrew's got a book, Andrew Womack. God wants you well. Every day. Every day. Amen. But, Pastor, I just want to thank you. I thank God for this. This is a divine connection. It's one of my prayers that I've been praying, because he knows nothing about me, about the church, what I've been going through, what I've been holding on to. But this year, if you wasn't here, you can get a CD. The first of the year, the Lord put in my spirit just a word. It was going to be a year of transitioning. What have you heard today? I heard the word of God today. That's going to help me transition, not just here as a pastor. You know, God's called us to take the Word of God to the world. That was the last statement he gave us. That's a big transition from Concord to the world. But see, it's not going to just happen through the pastor. It's going to happen through everybody that comes to this church, as we're all going to transition together. Amen? But also take it to your personal life, into your business life, and Van even told us he's in a transitioning period right now. But God knew this was coming. He knew Van was going to be here. And that was a word to prepare us for a transitioning. Amen. Eagles, we're going to soar on wings as eagles. See, I'm getting some revelation from that today. But I wanted to share that just to remind you that God knows the end from the beginning and all the in-betweens. And if we'll just be obedient to him, He's got to do a quick work in these last days. Nothing's holding back God. It's the people. See, God's got to flow through people. The more people are listening, the quicker he can get the job done. That would take care of a lot of those transitioning sufferings. If we can just get it done quicker. But see, God's got to work through people. And I thank you for that word to the people that are not here, that should be here, those ones that are needing that word. Reach out to them. Call them, pick up the phone. You know who you are, who they might be. But always, like I say, never discourage, always encourage. Listen from the word of the Lord. There's a word there to encourage them. And that's what I've heard today. So get ready. He said get ready before we got ready, right? Now get ready for those, that anointing. Those anointings that's going to happen in our lives. And pray for me. Paul said, pray for me. He prayed for a lot of people without ceasing, but also he said, pray for me that I may speak this word boldly. Peter might have said it. Paul probably said it too. I want to speak the word boldly. I want that anointing that Jesus has for me. Because a lot of times in this ministry, you try to put titles. Lord, what have you called me to do? What have you called me to do? Jesus said, let me tell you. So I want to hear, I want to go and flow how he wants this ministry, this church to operate in. And you're not the only one to prophesy and speak about transitioning bigger things. Amen. So we just got to be ready. Be ready. Amen. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here that you have called. The word of faith is standing before me today, Father. I thank you, Lord. We call in all those here that you need here, Lord, to train, to equip. Right before the service, I was just praying, talking to some of my leadership. And, Lord, I just felt like sometimes he showed me just like we're like an airport strip. planes come in, they get refueled, they get refreshed, and they take back off. We got people, ministers, that's going to come through here that need that place of rest and refueling so they can take back off. We can't fly 24/7 without the Word and in Spirit. We need those refueling stages. And this is a church that's here to equip the saints, but also to be a place of refuge. Ministers, men, women, children, whoever needs to come here to get built up on the Word of God. Because we're going to build them up. Because that's what God has done to me. And that's what He likes to do, is build people up. And Father, we just thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, Your people leave today, Lord. They leave here to go out and be a witness. Go out here and share. Lord, that's when the church is going to get started. We go out here and share what happened. And we just thank You right now, Lord, for the vision You've given them and the hope You've given us today through the Word. And I call Your people blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.